Now, of course, I'm sure you realise that this book of Galatians is a very important book. Well, you say the whole of the Bible is. But yes, certain books shed light on particular matters and particular subjects and particular truth. And the problem with the Galatians was they were going astray. You read the heart of the apostle in the chapter. You see how he loved these people who he preached to. He wanted them to go on in the things of the Lord, but they were going astray. A new teaching had come in. Well, perhaps not a new, an old. Usually an old teaching, an old heresy, an old error is dressed up in new clothes. And this might be what had happened to these Galatian Christians. There were those who were teaching them to go back under the law, the importance of the law. They were overemphasizing the law. And this was causing a great difficulty. And Paul had to write this letter. He was very concerned. They started so well. They looked so promising. And yet they were going astray. And how this is so relevant and pertinent to our day when we see so many going aside. Friends, this is our authority here this morning. The Word of God from beginning to end, not the doctrines of men. Now that might be difficult to discern. We need to be on our guard. We need to know the Word as individuals. You cannot rely on somebody else. You have to know the Word for yourself. The more you know the Word, the more you'll know the blessing of the Lord. The more you'll know closeness to God. The more you will know God's presence with you. That's why he's given his Word. This is our authority. And because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. That wonderful, glorious truth of adoption. Adoption into the family of God. That is true of every believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. So those of you here this morning who rest in the Lord Jesus Christ and in him alone, belong to him, been saved by grace, converted, well, this is true of you. You are sons of God, heirs of God with Christ. Look what it says in the next verse. Wherefore, thou art no more a servant, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. Adoption, of course, is the great truth where one is made a member of a family. You were not born into that family. You do not belong to that family. You might not have even known that family. And somehow you're brought in to a new family and adopted, and you are treated like sons and daughters. You have a new mother and father. This is something that's happening a great deal today. There are many children waiting to be adopted into families in this nation. And it's a great problem. More and more we see this happening. Birth families being torn apart by various things that are coming in and destroying family life. We need, friends, need to uphold family life in this nation. We join with all those who uphold the unit that God has given, the unit of the family. But this is something a bit different, because this is something coming in from outside, adopted into a new family. Well, that is true of every believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, and what a glorious truth it is. All those riches, all those blessings that belong to the Lord Jesus Christ are ours. He is, as it were, our elder brother. And there we are, all his siblings, as it were, adopted into the family of God. Now, of course, what Paul is doing in this chapter is he is outlining the great truth that this is what makes the difference. The fact that you are sons. Something supernatural has happened to the believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so how could these Galatians go back to the Old Testament ways? those ways that have passed away? Did they not realize who they were and what they were in the Lord Jesus Christ? This is what Paul is bringing to their attention. Did they not realize that the veil had been ripped in two in a great supernatural act of God? And now the gospel comes to the whole world. All are to receive the gospel message. Those whom God has chosen will respond and come to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. This is grace. This is God's mercy. This is the wonder of salvation. Adopted into the family of God. But what we're reading about in this verse is something particular to do with this adoption. Because ye are sons, because you belong to God, God has done something wonderful. It's part of the adoption, something that comes with it. God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts. You get the Trinity there in that verse. God the Father, God the Spirit, God the Son. They're connected. They belong to one another. Because ye are sons, small s, God has done something. He has sent forth the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God, the Spirit of His Son into your hearts. He's there, dwelling in you, working in you, doing something. And this is what we find in the words that we're going to consider together this morning. What are we looking at here? Well, we are looking at the believer in the world. And he is concerned. He's concerned what he sees. He's concerned what he knows. Of course, the believer understands the world. He understands what's happening. How is this possible? Well, we're told in an earlier epistle that believers in the Lord Jesus Christ have His mind. In other words, we think His thoughts after Him. Not perfectly, not completely, but we have something the world doesn't have. The mind of Christ. And part of this is not only the intellectual, the mind, the thinking, the thought, but also the heart, the emotions, the feelings. This is a wonderful thing, friends. We're thinking about this morning. We live in a world of trouble, a world of difficulty. And this is one of the interesting things about visiting a congregation of the Lord's people. I don't know your circumstances. I don't know what troubles you might be going through. I don't know what difficulties you're facing. There are certain problems of our day which all the congregations of the Lord's people know. Dwindling numbers, aging congregation, those bring problems. But sometimes the problems, of course, are very much deeper than that. The problems of the nation, the problems of the Church of Christ in the nation, the problems of individuals, these are all troubles in the world. Well, what are we to do? How are we to be helped in this situation? Well, this is the wonderful thing. God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying, crying. Do we know something of that cry to God? We're allowed to go to God with tears in our eyes, asking for things. Paul tells us in Philippians how we might ask. I'll just mention those verses for you to take away and look up later, because they're very instructive in how you come to God with your requests and your desires. Towards the end of the letter to the Philippians, he says this: rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say, rejoice. What, with problems in the world, problems in my life, problems that I see and I'm concerned about? Yes, because God knows them too, and He is concerned. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. He's close to His people, and also He's about to come again, the Lord Jesus Christ. The great moment of history is about to dawn upon us. And so, in everything, look what he says, be careful for nothing, Whatever that problem might be, don't let it cloud your mind or your relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. But in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. That's how you're to pray. With praise, with thanksgiving, with supplication, and then you can ask things. You can give that cry to God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Or again, we turn back to Romans. Remember that great verse? We know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them that are called according to his purpose, God's sovereignty, working in the lives of his people, blessing them, even when things look like they're going horribly wrong. We know that all things work to the good of those that love God. Our duty is to love God. That's what we need to do. We need to be those who are seen and known to love God. But he says this. He talks about praying. And he says that we have the Holy Spirit working within us. Look what he says. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. See the connection again. For you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. Exactly the same words as in our text. The Spirit himself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. There's the connection with it, with the sufferings of God's people and this cry that they give up. But then he also talks about praying. The Spirit helps us. Likewise, the Spirit also helps our infirmities. Why? Why does he do this? For we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. That groan, that cry, is a prayer. You see what's happening? Your distress, your troubles. Whether it's outside, whether it's within. These are all problems that afflict each and every one of us. Sometimes you cannot put the words together, but you are groaning and crying to God. And it's accepted in the Lord Jesus Christ. Crying, friends. I suppose in a sense this is a humbling word for us to think about. We like to depend upon ourselves. We don't like to think of ourselves as children. But we should, because if we are believers, we are children. Children of God, sons of God. And children cry. When something happens, they have an automatic response, almost, to cry. Well, that's the picture of the Christian, the believer, in the Lord Jesus Christ, crying like a child to their father. That is us, crying. And here's the wonderful thing. We're allowed to. God expects us to. We can go with those tears to God because we have access to him. But then also it says, Abba. This is the cry put into a word. And of course, I'm sure you're aware that this word Abba means daddy. Calling God daddy. That is an incredible thing, is it not? And I hope you will agree. To call a heavenly father, a holy God, daddy. Well, we'll see in a while why this is possible. But we can do this. But this is the picture of the believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. Going to God in prayer, distressed, pressed down, under pressure, wondering what's going to happen. And we cry. And what's the word that we use when we cry? It is daddy. Abba. Daddy. Abba, Father. And then we think of this third word, Father. This, of course, is the authority. This is the one who nurtures. That's the position of the father in a family. Go to Ephesians and read those great words about the marriage relationship, a picture of Christ and his church, the man and the wife, the father of the children. Well, God is our heavenly Father in the Lord Jesus Christ. He is a perfect father. He is a father who knows his children absolutely and perfectly. He is a father who wants to bless them and help them and see them grow. As fathers in this world, that's what we want for our children. We want, at the age of 18, for them to be able to stand on their own two feet, and they go off and they start a new family, and they're able to progress in the world. They're able to exist. They're able to look after themselves. They are independent of us. That is our great task as parents. And of course, the responsibility for that is very often on the father. We know about the relationship of fathers and mothers. The scriptures teach us a great deal about that, and what an important word that is for today. The true relationship between the father and the mother. But here we have this great word of Father, and how we need to hear more on the fatherhood of God to his people. The picture is the Christian, pressed down by the cares of living in this world and crying, Abba, Father. So I want to now ask you a question, friends. How is this possible? How is it possible for sinners like us to cry, Abba, Father, to a holy God? God is holy. God is righteous. God is eternal. God is infinite. God is the creator. He's made man. If you go to the genealogies in the Gospels, you read of Adam, and it says, which was the son of God? Adam. Which was the son of God? What does that mean? Adam was made in the beginning to have fellowship with God, to walk with God. He had a right relationship with God. Adam was holy. Adam was perfect. Though finite, though a creature, he was perfect. He was the son of God, but he fell. And that sonship was given up, as it were. And rather being the son of God, he became the son of this world. And in fact, of course, Adam himself was the father of this world. The father of mankind. And all are descended from him. And all join in his sin against God. All are rebels like he was. Man is a rebel. The Lord Jesus Christ spoke of two roads, you remember. It's a very clear picture. The broad road which leads to destruction. And many there be which go in thereat. It's a road which is broad and smooth and easy. And down it goes. And the whole world goes with it. Leads to destruction. Terrible, devastating, awful, awesome. That is the truth of man in sin. Man has rebelled against God. Man is unholy. Man is unworthy of God. Man is an outcast. That comes out in the chapter. God working his purposes out, bringing people to himself. Working in the world, working in the hearts of men. We see because of man's darkness, because of man's evil, because of man's rebellion, that it's all the work of God. God is the one who decides and chooses. This is so important for us. But we have to realize and acknowledge that man is lost. Man is dead in trespasses and sins. He's hopeless in this world. He tries to go his own way. He tries to make a God of his own. He tries all kinds of things. He's looking for something. He cannot find peace until he finds the mercy of God in the Lord Jesus Christ. And that, friends, is how this is possible. It looks hopeless. Job cried out, "Is there no daysman who will lay his hand upon us both? Is there no mediator? Is there no advocate? Is there no one who can reconcile man to God?" There is none. "No man cares for my soul. All men cannot help me. All men are sinners like me. All a man can do is point the way, like John the Baptist. Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." Dr. Martin Lloyd-Jones said that John the Baptist only had one sermon. Behold, 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 the Lamb of God who taketh away the sins of the world. There is one way of salvation. There is one Saviour of sinners. There is one way that we can come into that family of God. And that's what I want to hold before you now in these closing moments. The glorious good news, the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. How is it possible for sinners like you and me to come before God and cry, "Abba, Father"? Because God has made a way. Look what it says. Look how the world is in bondage and darkness and cannot see. It's in the passage. Verse 1. "Now I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, differeth nothing from a servant, though he be Lord of all." Can you see the picture there? It's the Lord of the house. I don't know around here, maybe you have country houses and there's still lords living in them. I don't know. But lords and ladies, like everybody else, have sons. And the first one is usually the heir. And of course he will be the one who will take over the estate and run it at a later date. But while he's a child, he's not received the fullness, but he's under tutors and governors until the time appointed of the Father. Even so we, Paul says to Christians, when we were children, were in bondage under the elements of the world. As we were born into the world, we were with everybody else. But then look what happens. That great word, "but," that comes in the New Testament. "But when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law." Why? "To redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. And because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father." Because the Lord Jesus Christ died. Because you belong to God. Because Christ came down. Think of how Paul puts it in Philippians. What a glorious picture it is of the humiliation of the Lord Jesus Christ and then his exaltation. Paul's using this as a motive for Christians, that they should be like he was. "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God," just think of that, "thought it not robbery to be equal with God." It was no crime. There was nothing wrong. It was absolutely true. He wasn't stealing from God by having that title and that glory. It was his before time was. Eternally co-equal with God, the Heavenly Father. But made himself deliberately of no reputation, Look at him in the world, despised, rejected, and took upon him the form of a servant of men, a servant of sinners, and was made in the likeness of men, a human body, God manifest in the flesh. Being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Down, 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 down goes the Son of God. Why? That we might live, that we might be sons, that we might be adopted into the family of God. Wherefore God also has highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. There's a day coming, friends, when he will come in glory and might and power, and the whole world will see him and all his glory. Do you see it? Do you know it? Do you know it's happening? Any day soon. Who knows when it'll come? But like a thief in the night. And he will come with his flaming angels, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. This is the greatest event in history. And the whole world of man will stand before God, and all will bow to the knee of the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Bow the knee. Every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. But those of his people will not fear such a day. It will be a day of vindication, friends. It will be a day when all our troubles will come to an end in him. It's a day when the reign of sin will end for his people. There will be no crying. There will be no pain. There will be no suffering. The crying will come to an end. And so we can look forward with anticipation to that great coming day. The day of the Lord. That is the day to look forward to. And the one who will come, the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you know him, you can look forward with great eagerness and know that that is where you will rest. That will be an eternal rest for you, because the Lord Jesus Christ has purchased it for you. But before that time, you can still know that closeness to God, the Heavenly Father. You can cry, Abba, Father, whatever your difficulties might be. What a great and wonderful word that is. What a thing to be able to do, to know that God knows all our heart, knows all our troubles, and we can go to him. How sad for those that don't know the Lord Jesus Christ. They don't have a Heavenly Father. They don't have someone who knows them in the way that the Lord God does know his people. God is a judge to them. He knows their sin. And he must punish all sin, because he's a holy, just and righteous God. There is no deliverance for them. This is great tragedy. So, friends, in a sense, there is a dividing here this morning. The sheep and the goats. We look the same. I don't know how many of the Lord's people here this morning. I don't know how many are still outside of the Lord Jesus Christ. But can you see the great difference? Can you see the day approaching when it will be seen and will be revealed? I don't know how anybody can face this world. I don't know how anybody can face the problems of this nation without knowing the Lord Jesus Christ. But those of us that know him, whatever that difficulty might be, whatever that problem, whatever that crying, we can cry, Abba, Father. Amen. Let us all pray. Most gracious and glorious God, we thank thee that in the Lord Jesus Christ we can go to thee as a heavenly Father, one who is gracious to us. And we thank thee, O Lord, for this wonderful text which speaks of the closeness of thee to thy people, and how thou hast blessed them in all their troubles and distresses. O great God, may each of us here be those who cry, Abba, Father, for thou hast done a great work in our hearts through thy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank thee for thy Holy Spirit. We thank thee for what the Lord Jesus Christ has done for us. We pray that each of us here might know the truth of him as our Saviour. Amen.